And welcome back to the Roundtable on a Tuesday morning, 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, and we have the Roundtable panel we are about to convene this morning. Who's here today? Oh, former editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain, is here. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Former associate editor, you should say.
It doesn't say it here, so we'll call you the editor. Can you pull the microphone over a little bit closer? There we are. Oh,
good morning.
We do it differently here.
What, we have the microphones very far away?
We do it differently than in the newsroom in a newspaper. You got to have a microphone in your face to be on the radio, don't you see?
You make a point.
All merging together, you know that.
And that fellow with the microphone in front of his face is our own Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I do have a few things to say this morning.
Can I introduce Rosemary first?
Well, that would be a good idea.
Oh, hello, Rosemary.
Hello. I feel like an afterthought. Let's get back to Alan quickly.
Well, no, it's not about Alan. Today is an important day.
Yes.
It says it right here on my script. What is the day?
Today is Giving Tuesday. Now, look, there are a lot of very worthy not-for-profits here, and we don't want to be put at the head of the line because we know that there are so many not-for-profits that need so much help, and we hope you will. On the other hand, we're here, and you're listening to us right now, and there's a reason you're listening, because this service is essential. Not only that, think about it. When we go on during a fund drive, we raise a lot of money quite frequently with other people. So your dollars here to WAMC at 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206, or at WAMC.org, it goes a long way to helping not only WAMC, but helping this community in a big way.
And it is Giving Tuesday around the world. People celebrate philanthropy. So this is a great time to make your pledge here, right?
Well, right.
Okay.
Right.
WAMC.org, or you give us a call if you wish. But we do love that, and it's Giving Tuesday. Maybe somebody bring me a ham and cheese sandwich and a cold beer, some chips. Yeah?
Little bourbon, maybe?
Yeah, possibly. We're still waiting Libby Post. Libby sent an email a little while ago saying, I'm running late. I'm on Rosemary Armeo time.
Yeah. Oh,
which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, she had a blink.
But yet Rosemary's here and Libby's not here. So
I did get an email from a listener who said, how come when it's normal weather, you're always late, but as soon as it gets terrible, you're here on time?
I saw that. That was funny
that
and
was
true.
Funny and true, yeah.
Well, you are here today, and boy, you know, it's worse today, I think, digging out than yesterday.
Oh, boy. My house in Great Barrington, I have literally never seen the snow that high.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm telling you.
You've been living there a long time.
Yeah.
What's that about weather memory you were talking about yesterday?
Ah, with Jason Goff, and he's not calling in today. So.
Van Gogh.
This was only the eighth worst storm in Albany in December.
I thought I had it under control last night. Yeah. Played a little poker with my youngest and my wife, and didn't bother going out. And then this morning we're buried again. You know what I mean?
That's what happened.
That's what does happen.
Oh, anyway, you know,
digress. The ride in. Well, one more digression. I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
All right.
The I-90 you could eat off.
Right. And do you do that?
No.
Okay.
But then you make a right turn towards Albany on the what we call the Freebie 90.
Right.
Not so good.
And
those poor state workers, they don't have enough backup or equipment and others to do it, because the state does that.
Who are you blaming?
I'm blaming nobody. I'm just making an observation in honor of my fellow human beings who might be on that road.
All right, so take it easy out there. There are still slick spots. The email address here is panel at WAMC.org if you would like to share your thoughts with us this morning. Brief letters, always helpful. Long letters, not so helpful. No links, no attachments, no abbreviations. Please proofread your emails. We do read them, and we have enough trouble sounding intelligent without reading your mistakes. So once again, it's panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. And one more thought.
Yes, please.
About the letters.
Oh, please.
Just send them during the show.
Oh,
We get things in the middle of the night, and
I wake up in the middle of the night. There they are,
and your thoughts are good thoughts, but
well,
we get a lot of email. The point is, just send it during the show and not in off hours.
Because it ain't going to get read that way.
This is the point.
Well, don't you think it might be people who are listening by streaming or podcast after the fact?
Well, you make a point, Mike. Yeah.
Well, here's another point, but here's a refutable point, and that is even if you're doing that, Mike, and you do it in the middle of the night or another time, we're not going to read them on the air. The way to get them read on the air is to do it during the show itself.
Well, you make another point. Everybody's making points today. The House is poised to release an impeachment report today outlining evidence of what it calls President Trump's wrongdoing toward Ukraine, findings that will push Congress toward a debate over whether he should be removed from office. Democrats on the Intelligence Committee are making the case that Trump engaged in behavior that violated his oath of office. Republicans insist the president never intended to pressure Ukraine when he asked for a favor. The report being released today lays the foundation for articles of impeachment, sets up a test of political judgment. It's dividing the country at the moment.
Well, we do know we have a very divided country, don't we, Rosemary?
Yes, we do.
Why did you ask Rosemary that?
Well, I thought Rosemary's a good panelist, and I thought she would have some insight into why the country is so divided.
I think that we're all being played. I think we have a lot of political theater and directed marketing going on, and it's been highly effective.
Which way? Well, what do you mean? In other words, you think that both the Democrats and the Republicans are responsible for this mess?
Yes.
It is remarkable to me, though, that the Republicans remain so disciplined and so united during in the face of all of the evidence that came out during the House Intelligence Committee hearings. They're not conceding a single point. They're not saying, like, there was this period where a few were saying, well, it's not desirable. Well, that it's not impeachable. Now they've gone back to dig in and said, no, the president was doing the right thing. He was questioning and hesitant about aid to Ukraine because it was corrupt and it has a corrupt history, and that's that.
And so Joe Biden was the corrupt guy. Thera, it's so interesting. We know that this is a president who hasn't said one word about corruption anywhere else. It's that simple.
I think that there's that discipline and solidarity because it works. And you see it every day in the reaction. And I'll cite polls here, but name any other kind of support you can show. Calls to congressmen when they went back over the break. Many of them held meetings with constituents. And they were asked, why are you not defending the president? So their methods have worked. Why would they not stick with them? Plus, Trump is insisting on it. The Washington Post is talking today in a column about how in the old days you might have had Democrats and Republicans sitting down and say, okay, we need to resolve this. You're not going to get a conviction. So let's sit down and have a bipartisan two-house condemnation, a censure of Trump, and that will end it. And I'd be satisfied with that.
It may still come to that.
Sign of it. None.
Well, he made it very clear yesterday
that
he didn't want to be censured. He said, I'm going to be exonerated here, and therefore I want a trial before the Senate.
This goes back to the grab them by the you-know-what comment. And there was universal. I mean, I can remember watching television that weekend that Trump was going to drop out at any minute. Ryan and other House leaders, Republican leaders, were calling on him to get out. Pence was getting ready to make a run. And he said, no, I didn't do anything wrong. We're holding steady to it. And it worked. And that has been the pattern. And, yes, Republicans have learned.
This sets up the release of the report today sets up, I think, what will be a very interesting hearing.
That's a Democratic
tomorrow.
Report. Yes.
Correct. Right. And we'll be airing this tomorrow. I think it begins at 10 tomorrow morning. It's all about the meaning of high crimes and misdemeanors and what is an impeachable offense. So tomorrow we will hear from experts on constitutional law and various scholars and historical perspectives will be given to see whether, in fact, what has been released in the report today rises to that level.
Well, I have a question. Do any of these scholars that are going to testify tomorrow, have any of them spoken personally to the president about this? Of course not. So what would they know about it?
Well, they're talking about the legitimacy of an impeachment proceeding.
Somewhat sarcastic.
Oh, well, you see, I didn't miss it. And
what do you think Libby thinks?
Yeah,
we
need Libby.
Oh, look, Libby's here. Hi, yes. Libby. Hi. Welcome. Take a seat and have a microphone. It's great to have you
We're
here.
We're talking impeachment. I know that'll stun you. Okay.
Political consultant, lobbyist Libby Post is here, and the ride was okay?
Yes, but you left off the most important point.
What's that?
That I had to drop the dog at puppy play.
Now, what is puppy play?
Puppy daycare. Play is daycare, puppy daycare, doggy daycare. And she goes twice a week, and it's really good for her.
Socialization.
And then it knocks her out.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What about some doggy downers? Then you can cut the
No drugs for the dog.
All right, fair enough. So puppy play. Well, puppy that sounds
play.
Terrific.
Yes.
Now, one other thing about this impeachment panel of professors. You know, if you watch Law and Order enough, you know that you can hire a psychiatrist who will give you any view. You know, they're for sale, these guys. Many of them are. So that's true of the professors also. There are professors who will be bought and sold, and apparently they got themselves one who is going to argue on this thing that there's no reason to impeach.
You mean the Republicans?
Yes.
Well, they have a whole cabinet. Not only do they have professors, but they have a whole cabinet. They've got an attorney general.
Yeah, but you see what is clear is that the Democrats, Nadler et al., will be doing is trying to get the American people as involved in this as they possibly
Absolutely.
Can. The problem is that it's pretty highfalutin stuff. I mean, I don't want to talk down, but it has to be done in terms in which everybody can understand, as opposed to a bunch of professors. Otherwise, they could be on our academic minute, if you know what I mean.
No, I agree with you. I mean, people need to be engaged, but we also need to recognize, I mean, we've got an attorney general who's turned the Justice Department into Trump's private legal team. And, the notion of truth, justice, and the American way, now, under this administration, truth and justice have become an oxymoron.
Although there does seem to be a story this morning that Bill Barr, otherwise known as Billy Barr when he was younger, has put his finger down his throat and said, no, this is too far of going after the FBI. And I have the theory that expressed earlier this morning, which is you probably shouldn't mess around with the FBI because...
Or any intelligence
what
agency.
What are you reading? I'm sorry. I need some information here. What are you reading, Ali? Because I had read that he was going to exactly question why the FBI right. had doubts and went and started the whole thing, that he is questioning the inspector general, which is not support of the FBI at all.
Now, to be clear, these are all based on leaks. And so we won't know for sure until the IG report comes out, and I think that's on Monday.
Yeah. I read a story. I wish I could give you chapter and verse, Rosemary, but I can't, about how Barr had drawn a line in terms of how far he personally was willing to go in supporting a downer on the FBI. But I do know that I also read what you just mentioned.
You know, the AP had a headline here. We're talking about impeachment as... You know, it's never happened on this show, but here we are again. Impeachment, a political judgment call, crime not required.
Well, we know
that.
That's
true. That's
we all know that. What was that? Was my phone?
Pleasant.
No.
Usually when a sound goes like that, it's you, but I don't think it was you this time.
No,
it was me. I'm sorry.
Not this time. It wasn't.
But anyway.
You're exactly right. Impeachment is what the impeachers say it is. It can be anything. It can be defined that they want to define as a high crime and a misdemeanor or misdemeanors. And in fact, that's been the case. I think that this study that they're doing now hasn't gone far enough. I think this president, in terms of the emoluments clause and everything else, has done far worse.
I heard you mention that.
Can I just remind you that the Republicans impeached a president for lying about having sex?
Right.
Not a crime.
Right.
The scholars generally will say that it doesn't have to be a crime in order to impeach, and it doesn't mean that you're impeached because there is a crime. I mean, it can go both ways, and it's how the people in political power interpret it.
Well, isn't that why this will come to exactly nothing?
It's predictable that the Senate will not convict. The question is, by the time it gets to the Senate, if there's a full airing of all the charges, will any Republicans side with the Democrats in at least a demonstration that they see something wrong in what happened? And that'll be interesting. Or will the Republicans win over some Democrats? That's what happened in the Clinton impeachment. Mm-hmm. Some Democrats voted to remove Bill Clinton from office, along with Republicans. And a lot of Republicans voted not to remove Bill Clinton from office, and he was not removed. But there was some element of bipartisanship and certainly a public censure of the president's behavior in the case of Clinton. And that probably will not happen now.
You may get one or two Dems who are in
purple states, red states.
Red districts are very, very purplish districts to get off the hook. Mm. Absolutely. But enough won't be released to make the vote go down in the House.
No, oh no.
Right.
So, certainly not. I know there are a lot of people who've called for censure and say, well, what are the Democrats doing if they can't win? The answer is a lot of information is getting out there that would not have gotten out there otherwise. And the Democrats, and they keep saying it, are doing their constitutional duty. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing because they were elected and this is their responsibility. Mm-hmm. And remember that all of these people had, these Republicans who were running against Trump at the time, had terrible things to say about him and his character and everything else. Right now, they're scared to death that he's going to turn on them, and he basically has said that. You have to support me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a threat.
And all of this will give, on both sides, but for the Democrats, very good clips and sound bites for TV and political commercials
to convince those who haven't decided
those
10 or 12 people out there who haven't decided.
I think that there are more than that. I think there are many, many more people than that. And those are the people, but those are the people that you have to go after in order to win next November.
Remembering that a 5% difference is a huge amount that will win or lose an election.
Mm-hmm. All right, we need to take a break here, and we are just getting started on the tail end of another big night of snow. It's the Roundtable Panel. Mike Spain, Libby Post, Rosemary Romeo, Alan Shartok.
Giving Tuesday.
And it's a Giving Tuesday. We'll remind you after the news. The email address is panel@wamc.org. We'll also get to some of your emails coming up. Nice. That's the Rebirth Brass Band. What is that? The Little Richard? Girl Can't Help It? I know that tune. I know the riff. Rebirth Brass Band playing Hilo in North Adams, Mass on Friday. HiloNorthAdams.com for more information. That's pretty good stuff. It's the Roundtable Panel. 9:34 is the time. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Joe is recovering from his surgery and doing well. His knees are, they put the bionics in, right? And they'll be running 50, 60 miles an hour before you know it.
He's the trillion-dollar man.
Way to go,
that's right.
Joe.
Well, yeah, with inflation, it's now a couple of billion at least.
His family keeps, I talked to him on the phone, his family keeps bringing in, superior meals.
Oh, good, good.
That he's feeling a little better about that.
Well, this is terrific. And we have a roundtable panel here that is just splendid today. Mike Spain, Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok, and of course you at panel@wamc.org. And we'll get to your emails in a moment. But Alan wants to remind you about something.
I do.
Yes. What is that?
I want to remind everybody that it is Giving Tuesday.
Oh, yes.
And that WAMC always playing it a lot closer to the line than we would like to be. Rely on people's good judgment and say, okay, I can do a little bit extra. And we don't by any means mean to divert you from any of the other good charities out there. There are many. WAMC really does need you, and anything you can do this morning by going to WAMC.org or calling us on the phone, 1-800-323-9262, sticking a check in the mail and sending it to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206.
Right you are.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Alan. It's panel at WAMC.org if you want to weigh in with your thoughts. And, Alan, we have some emails.
We do. Okay, Daniel says, Dem tactics, gentle people. Can the Dems start cornering the Republicans by both adding the high crimes and misdemeanors beyond Ukraine and talking about how the Republicans are unwilling to hold Trump accountable for anything because they only care about holding power and they don't care at all about America or the American people, so much so that they are willing to aid and abet the dictator Putin in making his fever dreams come true. Instead of talking about Senate acquittal as a foreign conclusion and woe is us for those unethical GOP senators, how about making acquittal toxic and impossible? Jeez, Daniel. That's his letter. Well, he makes a number of points there, doesn't he? The idea that Gerald Nadler, who I have known and watched for years, is capable of adding some things on to what the Democratic report says. A lot is going to depend on Nancy Pelosi, who I believe is running the whole show. You know, if Nadler wants to do the emoluments clause, for example, it's okay with me, and some of the other things that are out there. You know, we talk a great deal about misbehavior towards women on this show. Here's a guy who has set the gold standard for that. I think there's got to be some way to work this whole thing in. Hello?
Crickets.
Wake up.
Well,
let me ask you this. Do you think that with the holidays coming and a shortened holiday run-up season because of the late Thanksgiving, snowstorms, and other things taking people's attention, that anyone really is giving the proper attention required to this?
Oh, my gosh. Have you listened to this program? Have you seen the emails coming in?
I see the emails. I'm talking about the people who don't listen to this program. Mm-hmm. And there are some who don't.
Well,
bite,
I think
bite your tongue, Spain.
I think you use the word, Mike, anyone. I think a lot of people are. The truth is...
But anyone who isn't already informed and formed an opinion, of those people who will make the difference in whether this becomes politically successful for the Republicans or for the Democrats, how many of those people are paying attention? I just don't think they're there.
Well, you don't know. It's the purples, of course, that become very important in this. The independents who say, I can't stomach this. The suburban women, for example, who have made such a difference in electing a blue House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. So
the purples haven't moved much, though, yeah?
I'm sorry? No, the purples have not moved yet.
Okay.
There's
some movement away from impeachment as being a good idea, actually.
Yeah, slight,
not
slight
a lot,
changes in the polls.
So what does that tell you, political scientist?
Well, it tells me that we're not there yet. We haven't seen all of the evidence. We're going to go through this. We're going to go through this Senate trial. A lot of people are going to either be repulsed or say they're out to get him. I believe that this is a president who represents a mortal threat to our constitution and its our ability to preserve what we would only call small r Republican democracy. So people are going to have to decide this. You know, there are many people who went to college, many people who studied sociology, political science, other things, who get this. They understand it completely well. There are others in this country who haven't had the benefits of understanding what that's all about. Now, there will be those people who say, okay, then stop being condescending, Professor.
Yeah, I was just thinking that
Well,
word.
Thank you. Thank you. I knew you were thinking it, and I beat you to it. And therefore, I get the credit,
all right.
As we say in my house.
You both get a gold star, or bronze anyway.
Okay, but here's the point. The point really is there is a deep divide between the haves in this country and the have-nots. That's what this is all about. You know, when the Democrats take control and they say Medicare for all, there are people who say, I don't want my taxes to go up. There are people who say, I don't want to pay for all of that. There are, and Barack Obama comes out in a talk recently, which was recorded, obviously, so they play it, but they also show his words, saying you can't move too far to the left in order to win this election. And winning is so important. I think this winning this election is absolutely crucial to continuing our democracy.
Mm-hmm. The Wall Street Journal came out with an editorial the other day, shocking, in support of Elizabeth Warren's health care plan. So Barack Obama may be right about this. My view on it all is that people are paying attention. They don't care. They're paying as much attention as they think it deserves. And even the sort of thing that you just said, Alan, this is a threat to our constitutional future, blah, blah, blah. They see it as blah, 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 that it's not important, that it's just political rhetoric. They all do it. Republicans are blabbing and Democrats are too. And I'm too busy shoveling snow. I don't care.
They found out about Hitler. Many people felt exactly the same way.
It took years after the fact.
Yes,
it did not happen at the time.
That's right.
And I think we have the same situation.
People can live their lives without being engaged in politics at all, and while it's unfathomable to me, but they have a nice life. They go to work. They have their kids. They take care of their children.
Their stock portfolio is going up.
Yeah, you know, things are going relatively well. Though it's like, you know, rah, 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 out of Washington. It's the same old, same
exactly.
old. It doesn't really matter if it's Republican or Democrat. And they're like, let them fight it out. I'm going to go to the movies and see the new Star Wars movie because that's what's
important. Frozen
to me.
2.
Right, or Frozen 2. Yes. Or we saw Knives Out, which was
I heard that was
I
good.
Saw that.
It was great.
Everybody's raving about it.
I saw that.
It was great.
I thought that was great.
It was a lot of fun. But people, you know, go on and live their lives and don't want to have to think about all of this stuff and get engaged in it. They just want to live their lives.
And I think Trump has mastered this concept so well. He knows exactly how to stimulate people and to provoke them and prod them, and then he moves on to the next thing.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen says, divided we fall, Dear panel, would you agree that a lot of current division in the country can be traced back in part to the 2008 campaigns and the financing and emergence of the insurgent Tea Party? Thank you from Stephen.
I think what the Tea Party did was end compromise and discussion. They came in and said, we were elected to do one thing and that's all we're doing and we won't take anything less. And so all the arts of negotiation, of working together, of compromising where no one gets everything they want, but you move forward in incremental steps, we have lost that. And the result is partisan. Do it my way or not at all. Yeah, mm-hmm. Do it my way or not at all.
Right, but I think, though, it traces back before the Tea Party emerged to do exactly what you said. The Hastert rule from Dennis Hastert when he was the House Speaker, he made it so that if you don't have enough votes, it doesn't look like you're going to have enough votes to pass something. It doesn't even come out of committee for the party in control. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things that would get bipartisan support, were they to come before the full Congress, don't even get considered, and essentially you shut down government. And that's
a good kind
of
point.
Dig in and die. And the Tea Party emerged from that, and they are, you know, they were
that's
vigilant. They're the ones who blew up the Group of Eight, senators who brokered a good deal on immigration. It had Democrats and Republicans. Yeah. It had Marco Rubio and Chuck Schumer, et cetera. And the Tea Party came along and derailed that. And it would have We'd be better for it today had we had that compromise. Mm-hmm.
And then we heard from Bob in Albany, who says, impeachment polls, I think there's a logical fallacy in the way the panel and others read the close to 50-50 split on whether voters favor impeachment or not. I think a large number of the respondents who say they are against impeachment are really saying they don't think it will work. Not that it isn't justified by Trump's actions. My guess is that the ones actually believing Trump's defense are just the same flat earth and green cheese moon base as usual. Bob,
I think Bob makes a really good point there, and that is that if you're asked simply, are you in favor of this impeachment? Some people will say no, because they think it's a waste of time, that the Senate will never vote and it will actually propel Trump and he'll use it as a I'm exonerated kind of run into the 2020 campaign. And others don't have any stomach for it. Others might say no because they are actually against it. They support Trump. So there is a lot of it's insightful that Bob makes that remark. And
do you know Bob?
No, I don't.
You're being very complimentary.
Bob in Albany.
We have to take a break here. It's the Roundtable Panel. Mike Spain, Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok here, and you are there. More of your letters, more stuff coming up. Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Tuesday morning. 9:47 is the time. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable Panel. Alan is gesticulating in the direction of Libby Post. What's going on over there?
Nothing. We're just having a fashion discussion.
Yes.
Fashion discussion.
The two most fashionable people on the show.
Yeah.
Ah. And well, that's me. Who would they be?
Alan and I.
Oh, yeah.
Carl says, Chesterfield, Massachusetts. Dear panel, Trump alone is responsible for the country divided. The cable news, especially Fox, is aiding and abetting. I don't blame CNN and MSNBC because they speak the truth. The fact that the Republicans are so united behind Trump is not a good thing. They are promoting a false and destructive narrative. Can we really expect the Democrats to compromise the facts and truth to lessen the divisions? Carl from Chesterfield.
I would like to amend that or give my own opinion on that, I guess, and
say
that it's the other way around, that Fox News has divided the nation, setting up mm-hmm. a platform for somebody like Trump to rise to power. If you just looked at the New York Times analysis over the weekend of the whole case involving the Navy SEAL and how his case went before Fox News and then got the president's attention and how he directly responded to it, it is so clear, and time and again, that's not the only case, that Trump watches Fox News in the morning, and he's influenced by it. And if you want to get to Trump, go on Fox News.
See, I see it a little differently. I think there's the haves and the have-nots. I think that the people who like the way the power and money and resources are divided in this country are going to stick with Trump. And I think Fox is a representation, and the New York Post is a representation of that belief. Now, we can say that's bad. They shouldn't be that way. They shouldn't be greedy. They shouldn't be that way. But that's the way people are. They want to preserve what they've got. They don't want to give it up. And that's what this divide is all about. It's that simple. And I think Fox is a representation of that. If Trump decided he was going to win the election by becoming more liberal and more outgoing and more soft-spoken, I think you'd see Fox turn on him like an angry dog.
Well, I think there are some people at Fox who have already turned. I mean, Shepard's gone, right? Mm-hmm. Chris Wallace, on occasion, challenges what the president has to say. I'm not so sure it's. I think there's a symbiotic relationship, Mike. I don't know if it's Trump listening to Fox and then going off, or if it's Fox listening to Trump and mimicking. I think there's both of these things happen, because I don't consider Fox a news organization. It's a propaganda machine. So it's both it works both ways.
Well, there will be people listening right now who think that this station, that MSNBC, CNN, are also propaganda machines. I don't happen to agree with that, because I think there is an objective reality called truth.
Right.
Fox doesn't particularly care about that. The idea that you would raise that there are some, quote, good people on Fox gives me some adjective, because I think they're smart. I think they know what their message is, and I think they stick with their message. But they put a couple of.
Do you watch Fox?
Ringers.
I have.
They do some ringers.
I certainly have watched Fox.
All right.
Yeah, and then, you know, you...
Well, I watch it all the time, and I think that Chris Wallace and Shepard, before he left, were smart to be on Fox. It is the number one watched newscast or station network In the country.
Cable.
Cable. So if you want, and I bet they outpoll NBC and ABC, which are not cable. So if you want to have influence, if you want to be heard, that's the station to be at. And their newscasts are straight. They're okay.
Okay, but here's the thing.
It's the personalities. It's the Judge Pirros and Hannitys mm-hmm. who are the raging commentators who are Trump mm-hmm. and crazy.
Well, I mean, you get commentators on all sides of the political spectrum depending on what cable channel you're on. The newscasts generally on CNN, MSNBC, on Fox, the newscasters are presenting most of the facts. It's when you get into the non-news hours that you'll see a lot of difference.
Yeah, let me disagree with you, Ray.
Okay, all right.
On that, for whatever it's worth.
You've done a qualitative study on this, so
no,
go ahead.
I hesitate to do that, but I do think that Fox is bought and paid for, and that
by
people of that persuasion who mm-hmm. believe that the haves should continue to be the haves in this country. It's that simple.
Absolutely. They like the but spread.
But how do you account for so much of the Fox audience being lower middle class, lower income, middle class people scattered all over
Mark's
in rural areas,
spoke to those
et cetera.
Mark's he saw that as a market, and he spoke to mm-hmm. those people. Mm-hmm.
Marx mm-hmm. called it false consciousness. That's what he called it.
Mm.
And not that I should be quoting Marx, because it's
Groucho?
It's always misinterpreted. Stalin, I'm not a happy man about him. But Marx had some good ideas, didn't
mm-hmm.
he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's this idea mean?
Well,
False consciousness.
It's like, I'm not sure exactly what false consciousness is, although I do agree Marx had some good ideas. But I think part of it is that the folks who are watching news aspire to all of that money and aspire to being part of that class. And
exactly.
And there's this carrot that's constantly put out there saying, work hard enough, you can do this.
I agree with most of what you're saying. It's not necessarily a carrot. Sometimes it's a stab saying the reason you're not getting your share of this is those immigrants. The reason getting share of
that's
this
right.
is
they blame
is
the other
those policies that do this, do that, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of anger that's fueled by Fox's reporting
yes.
and by their commentating. But I must say, I think Rosemary's doing it right. I think if you have the time when a big story breaks, you know, don't just turn on one news feed. Turn on Fox also to see how it's being interpreted.
But aren't you disagreeing with her in that, or whoever said that the news is always pretty objective on these stations as the commentators?
I never said that.
Well, somebody did.
Yeah.
You did say the news is played straight on Fox. You said exactly that.
The news is, but that's different than the whole station. The station
No, that's not what we're talking about. So that's not what we're talking about. I just wanted to reference that remark. I think the way the news is presented quite frequently can de-objectify the news. In other words, I think that sometimes when you say all the news is delivered straight, I think if you read the New York Times, which I think is inevitably right, or if you read the Daily News, which I think in the people's terms is right, but if you read the Post, you say, hey, these are the same stories, but they're being played entirely differently.
Mm-hmm. Same true for MSNBC and Fox. You just look at the little headlines across the bottom of the screen, and they're presented in a more pejorative way.
A great point. Now, if you watch any of these channels, as we often do, we're doing now, with the sound off and look at the crawls, you will see more editorializing on the crawls or the little headline on the bottom,
video, more provocative.
The chyron, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing holds true for a lot of newspaper headlines mm-hmm. as opposed to the actual reporting.
Right.
If people were reading these and in newspapers or on television, we'd be in a better space. Those don't move people because no one's paying attention to the news. And we all know that. We've all seen the figures. Especially young people. They're not watching television. They're not reading newspapers.
No,
that's not having the impact.
They're going to YouTube.
This is like saying that Trump won the election because of endorsements in newspapers. Yes, he was not endorsed, and we should have voted for Hillary if we listened to newspapers. But who is anymore?
Mm-hmm. I'm reading a couple more. David says Trump supporters panel. My wife and I have listened to the House witnesses, to military leaders protesting Trump's interference in military law and discipline, the Brits' resentment of Trump's interference in their elections, etc., for 3 years now. All of this is overwhelmingly damaging to us, but apparently has no impact on Trump supporters. Perhaps they can't understand it. However, we cannot, for the life of us, understand why Trump supporters don't hold Trump accountable for his atrocious language, attacks, and mimicry, which are remarkably mean and unchristian. With no traditional or redeeming values, this should be understandable to everyone. And there's that word again, should.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I would repeat something that Rosemary brought up yesterday during the roundtable, and that is, take a look at the column by Kevin Dowd in the New York Times over the weekend. It was Maureen Dowd, the liberal columnist, allows her Trump-supporting brother to write a column. And
Every Thanksgiving.
Every year. And he basically gives the rationale for why he supports Trump and why a lot of people support Trump.
Exactly.
And it gets into the details of how there's an alternative narrative. People look at that. They look at the stock market. They look at the way Democrats have attacked Trump. They buy into all that. And it is a parallel universe out there.
Yeah.
And he represents it very well. It's worth looking up and reading.
It's the old idea. Oh, yeah, his language is so crude. I wish he'd get off Twitter. He can be a bore. But he's doing good things.
My portfolio is doing that.
They'll point to the stock market. They'll point to the Supreme Court and lots of conservative judges. And they don't care that our allies are unhappy with us.
They haven't been paying their fair share.
Yeah.
You know?
He's right.
We've been defending the world at our cost while we're letting our bridges and our roads deteriorate. Okay. This is not a bad thing.
That's the rationale.
That's the rationale.
Forward promotion for the next segment on NATO. Well done, excellent, Mike. You're really something. One more letter, Alan, and then we'll take a break.
Whatever you say, boss. Dave says employees must wash hands before returning to work. Different occupations have different rules, and breaking those rules is not necessarily a crime. Cooks might be required to wear hairnets, but truck drivers do not. Likewise, Trump can break a rule of constitution which isn't law and be liable for reprimand or removal. The voters might think they are his employers, but they cannot fire him. Voting him out of office is not the same thing. Only an equal branch of government is in a position to monitor and question his activities, and that's from Dave in Massachusetts.
All right, that's where we will take a break. Alan Chartok is here, Mike Spain, Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo. You can join us by emailing panel at WAMC.org. Coming up after the news, Alan will have some more quotes from Karl Marx. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 10:06 on a Tuesday morning. Ray Graff and Alan Chartok and Rosemary Armeo and Libby Post and Mike Spain. And what?
And Mike Spain. I thought you were going to forget that.
It's on the list.
Well, then my apologies to you, dear Ray.
The email address here is panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. And, you know, we have a stack of them.
We do. Wilbur says approval. Why is it that Trump's approval among the African American community has skyrocketed upward?
What?
I didn't read that. Does anybody
says else? Trump. There's...
No, Trump has said it, but I...
Yeah, but it's not true.
Lori says impeachment. Hello, panel. During the hearings, there was testimony that Giuliani had appeared on Ukrainian TV early in the year, talking about the Bidens and Burma.
Burisma, I think is what they meant.
It was a sitcom.
Yes, company.
I'm just reading what's in the thing here. This would seem to counter Sondland's claim that he did not make the connection between the two until around August. TV spots can be acquired as evidence for trial, can't they? It seems it could make a big difference. Lori in Port Ewing.
Maybe Sondland didn't see the show.
There are those of us who believe that, and we've said it here today, nothing will make a difference. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing has moved the needle on the Republican base. Nothing has moved the needle on those people who are Republicans, either the House of Representatives or the Senate.
I was trying to think what could move the needle, and one thing that occurred to me was Rudy Giuliani getting hit with a half dozen federal charges. But it didn't make a difference when Cohen got it. And Cohen said, I did what Trump wanted.
Yeah.
Giuliani will say the same. No, nothing will touch him.
Yeah, and the other thing, the narrative that Giuliani, oh, he was working in back channels, contrary to the State Department and the routine protocols. Yeah, that's true. But I think a president has the right to have one of his emissaries work behind the scenes.
Well, you betcha. And the State Department works for him.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I think a lot of people see it as the bureaucrats objecting to the way that Trump operates. Now, if Giuliani was going in there to set up a reelection farce by having this investigation announced to hurt at the time, and currently, according to the polls, the leading Democratic candidate, Joe Biden, you know, that's inviting a foreign government to interfere in a U.S. presidential election. That's a different thing. But if you're just looking at it as Giuliani was going behind the channel, didn't Henry Kissinger go behind the channels when he opened the way to China and
Russia,
even in the Middle East negotiations?
And not only
who
that,
is
Mike,
paying Giuliani? Did we ever find that out?
Good question.
I mean, Kissinger was paid by the U.S. government. He was an agent.
Well, he was Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Well, it was prior to that. He was special envoy.
He was special envoy. He had a title and a paycheck.
Although your point is extremely well taken, Mike. FDR, I hate to do this, was very fond of using people outside of the State Department to carry messages and to do that kind of thing with the allies. But, of course, it was a different time. We've heard from Danny, who says Trump. Good morning, panel. Thank you for braving the storm. I don't understand why it's too far to the left for us to have universal health care. Where's the richest country in the world and every other major economic country has universal health care? It's ridiculous that we don't.
Again, Wall Street Journal feels the same way, saying this would be a huge saving for business, and they support it.
Yeah,
it's
but how do you get from point A to point B?
Well, slipped up Elizabeth Warren. She goes, we just decree it right off. And
what happens to the entire health insurance industry? And how many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people would be out of work and corporations would have to close?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's the scare.
You have to have a migration. Just we have businesses all the time. Look at newspapers who have gone out of business because the market and the audience has changed. And that would happen in health industry, too. It does not happen by a decree from government and you instantly put them out of business.
Right. So if you have a better public option, arguably.
Correct.
It seems much more plausible to embellish the public option, and over time, healthcare company, health insurers would either have to step up and match it, or they'll wither.
Obamacare
sound like
was
a presidential
working.
Debate on the Democratic side.
I mean, let's be real. Obamacare was working.
Yeah.
People got health insurance.
Even though it was flawed.
It
there
was
so
flawed,
many compromises
but it was working.
In getting it off the ground.
It was working.
Libby
public
in the role
options.
Of Joe Biden saying fix Medicare.
Well, no,
fix Obamacare.
There was the public option. You could keep your private insurance. Millions of people got health insurance who never had it
11
before.
11 million people who were uninsured got health insurance.
And there were 45 million people without health insurance then and now. Because
and
people have been kicked
off. The trend
off.
Began to shift. People
That's right.
began to start using a physician, a visit instead to the physician, instead of the
emergency
room as the way of treating it. And that takes so much overload off the healthcare system. Well, it was beginning to take hold.
But not only that, it saves us tax dollars. Because when people go to the emergency room, we end up paying for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we heard from Maureen, who says on the subject of impeachment, good morning, panel. What you are describing is an apathy about the inquiry around POTUS, that's president. And it is a statement about our country and, in my view, the lack of understanding of what is at stake. Very disturbing and, in my opinion, sad.
It is sad that people have an apathy about what's going on because it so directly affects them and their children and their grandchildren, and they should appreciate the changes that are happening now and take a role in making sure that it's a better future.
So
I don't think it's apathy. I think it's helplessness. Why does my vote make a difference?
Could it be
and
both?
There's good reason to question that.
Apathetic hopelessness.
Thomas says, Trump, what then? Alan, you say quite rightly that Trump represents a mortal threat to the Constitution. But as mortal as that threat is, he poses an even greater one to the planet. I agree with that letter.
Yes.
You know, just going back to what Rosemary said, the thing is, and we talked about this yesterday, the thing is this, your vote does make a difference because Trump got elected by people not voting.
Yeah, but you don't feel that if you're one person. I mean, yeah. even in New York, we saw people saying, well, I'm not going to vote because it doesn't make a difference. It'll go for Hillary.
Well, in New York, it doesn't really, I mean.
And in New York overall, unless you're in Wisconsin,
Michigan, Pennsylvania, Florida,
the swing states, why even bother? They don't even bother running ads in our states anymore.
Okay, so Ed says, panel, it has happened. Trump has now effectively intimidated key instruments of power and coercion of our republic into submission. The Department of Justice, the FBI, and the military, firing Secretary of Navy, the Department of State, he calls the press the enemy of the people. Where is all this going? All right. Out of the dictator's playbook. Happened in Europe in the 1930s and elsewhere since, and half the American public is enthusiastic or at best inert. Rosemary is correct.
Wow.
We're doomed.
And that's she didn't say that.
She didn't say the D word.
I have said it repeatedly. I'm trying not to say it because people know I'm right and feel helpless when I say it.
Well, that's the thing. We can't.
That's the thing. We can't buy into this sense of hopelessness.
Yeah, no, I
because everybody that will then just stay home, put their blankets over their heads, and let things roll. I mean,
yeah, but
we'll
you can't
be,
feed
we'll
hope
in,
by saying untrue things.
But we will be, and we are, in 1930-something Germany, where people put the blankets over their heads and ignored the reality of what was going on there. We can't do that. We have to maintain some sense of hope that people coming together will make a difference and that we can elect somebody else in 2020.
I couldn't agree with you more, Libby. I mean, I think if people really decide that this is enough is enough, and we're hearing more of that, that they'll go out there and they will work to get everybody to vote, get everybody out there. And I think it's not that heavy a lift.
I don't either. And we,
I feel like
we're seeing it.
Into song, God
we're
bless
seeing
America.
It. But we're seeing it. We saw it in 2018. We saw it this year on Election Day where red districts got flipped to blue on a local level. It's possible. We just have to maintain a sense of urgency and a sense of hope that we can do this and not be brought down by the, oh, everything's lost. Let's just go home and forget it.
Yeah.
Those two things don't go together. You can have a sense of doom and not feel like you have to go home and forget about it.
Well,
they're
so
not
you can
connected.
Feel a sense of doom, but you might take positive
action
to relieve
exactly.
us of
right.
that doom.
You
that's
fight
like going
harder.
To therapy.
That is what heroism is.
Right.
That's what real defense of your country is, that even though you're not sure if it will have any effect, you still fight.
So that's what you're saying. So you're,
right.
you're
yes,
saying...
Yes, that's what I've said consistently.
Yeah, but you've also said we're doomed.
Yes,
Well, doom suggests that no matter what you do, there's no winning.
Right.
And I don't
I say that
I don't
right before the show
that.
Begins every day.
I believe we're going to beat this guy.
Oh, boy.
That's
well,
what
there's
I believe.
There's nothing else but belief on it.
Well,
the Democrats
the
are doing everything they can to
well,
lose.
Well, you say you believe that we're doomed. I say there's a very good chance that Trump is going to lose. You see all of these various polls that are coming out that show him in a losing situation. I don't see why that should change.
I think the voter turnout in 2016 was something in the range of high 50s. So let's say it got up to like,
65.
Say it got to 75 or 80, and then Trump won big. Would you then regard that as the mandate that America stepped forward and that's what they want?
And all the young people will vote and they will save us. I mean, I think a lot of this is great. And yes, it could happen. It's a possibility because anything is possible. But there's no evidence anywhere that this is actually happening.
Well, you know, if 55%, forget about 75%, Mike, if 55% of the people vote, Trump is done. You know, this is a 50-50 turnout ratio, and we know that the Democrats turn out in lesser numbers than the Republicans do. We know that.
And there are more of us registered.
Okay, so Bruce says, what motivates them at bottom, what motivates the American people is racism. The Civil War never ended. Racism seems to never go out of style. It's part of the Republican platform.
Yep.
Anybody?
Well,
that's great.
100%.
I agree, too. Okay, so...
I don't believe that's always been the case. And arguably, many Republicans do not see it that way, and they do not regard themselves as racist. And in fact, many of them are not racist. But when you look at the policies and the impact of the policies, arguably they have an impact that disadvantages people of color.
And okay. yet when Lyndon Johnson stood up on the floor and said, "We shall overcome," he also turned around and said, "And there goes the South."
Yeah, right.
And the South went just as he predicted.
Right. Well, Mike, you've said this a lot because this is...
My shtick.
Your shtick, right. I mean, you've said this a lot. And those folks that you know who voted for Trump may very well have been well-meaning people who wanted change. But if they vote for Trump again, okay, knowing that this man is an out-and-out racist, then yes, they are complicit in that racism. Okay, they are playing a role in bucking it up and saying, yes, this is who we are as a country, and that we can't afford that.
And you're saying if they don't know that about Trump by now, they're not paying attention.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And we heard from Mary Ellen in Glens Falls. We pronounce that Glen Falls
right
here. Yeah. Good morning, panel. While the right keeps scrambling that Medicare for all raises taxes, .. I never, in capital letters, never hear about the fact that we already pay taxes for Medicare out of our payroll taxes. And is there any real effort to educate people that supplemental insurance will also be necessary? This presents a choice, capital choice, to the American people that goes undisclosed. Are you aware lobbyists are working with various state legislators to craft anti-universal health care propaganda promotions? When do we get the straight scoop? And that's from Mary Ellen in Glens Falls. And Irene says, given the truth of what you are saying about impeachment, dear panel, personal and community survival are important. What are you each doing to personally survive this horrible, horrible time? Irene from Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Plymouth. Wow, that's pretty far east, yeah?
Yeah, it's rock.
Does your signal go from the Berkshires over?
It goes everywhere.
You never know where it's going to go. It goes into people's teeth.
They pick us up in Guam on a good day.
I feel the ringing all the time.
No. We skipped that question about what we are personally doing.
What are you doing?
Well, I think that leads into another story about imports from France, including wine, being hit with huge tariffs.
Drink domestic wine. You know, the Democrats lost a couple of presidential candidates this week. We had Montana Governor Steve Bullock.
Who?
Right.
Ended
his
Democrat.
Well, the other guy who's important.
Retired Navy Admiral, former Congressman Joe Sestak, called off his Democratic bid, I think, on Sunday. That's two down, 37 to go.
So one wonders what these guys were doing there in the first place, maybe to raise their image, so people knew who they were.
They're running for cabinet.
Well, Bullock said he was the only Democratic candidate to win a state that Trump won in 2016.
Yeah,
that was his rationale.
Sure.
But he isn't running for Senate now. Why?
No, he claims he will not run for Senate against an incumbent Republican.
Well, he's a governor. No, you're talking about Sestak.
But he's being term limited out.
Bullock
is being term limited out of the governorship in Montana.
So why isn't he running for Senate then?
He says he does not want to take on the Republican incumbent and run for Senate. He said he didn't want to do that before, and he's trying to stick to his guns. Now, John Hickenlooper, who was the outgoing governor
Colorado.
Who was term limited in Colorado, said he would not take on the Republican incumbent.
And then
since he has exited the Democratic primary.
Mm. And now we see in The Hill, Bloomberg overtakes Harris in new poll. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Kamala's really plummeted.
It's a new Hill-Harris X poll of Democratic presidential primary race. The survey released on Monday found that support for the former mayor ticked up from 3% to 6% among likely Democratic voters. Kamala Harris, meanwhile, fell behind with 2% support. That's a 2-point decrease.
Well, yeah. I keep wondering what happened, for example, to Elizabeth Warren, my senator, who was, threatening the lead again and again to take the lead. That's not happening right now. Biden, in all of the national polls, if not the specific state polls in his very important states, continues to lead. I don't get it, but I think the fact that you know, Bloomberg is going to spend $30 million, but we haven't seen those ads show up yet.
I'm sure we have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, have we?
Oh, yeah.
They're all over.
They're all over, and they're really good.
I want to watch television.
Bloomberg, and I know I'll get slammed for this, but this is what I do for a living, folks. I can, you know,
analyze
something, yes. And his ads are, his ad is very, very
good. So do you think it's 6%? What do you think his 6% means?
I think it's going to go up. I think going to rise in the polls, and I think we could see Biden-Bloomberg as a ticket.
So Biden, Sanders, Warren, and Buttigieg, now Bloomberg, and everybody else will just kind of be after.
Everybody else needs to just...
Also RINs, as they say.
Right, because they're not going to get much further. I mean, Amy Klobuchar is possible to continue to rise up. She's good. She sounds good.
She did go up from 1 to 2.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, she's not really moving the needle. And Bloomberg
is skyrocketing in Trump terms.
She doubled her.
Yeah, she doubled. You can spin it
and
however
Tom
you
Steyer
like.
Is at number 2 percent.
Well, what is it with that guy? I mean, he's talk about buying ads on television.
I've seen his ads. I saw an ad the other day.
He's
by
all over
Tom
the place.
Yeah, it's pretty good,
it
too.
Good. Yeah, but
you know, he's very
just
effective.
Not.
He and his wife Kat.
Yeah,
they started a bank.
And
didn't
she's
know
got
this
a
stuff.
Tattoo on
yeah,
her.
Yeah,
I mean, I think Bloomberg is going to be hurt by this whole news coverage thing. I don't know if you wanted to give.
We talked about that last week, but go ahead, Mike.
Well, today there's been a development. First of all, Bloomberg owns Bloomberg News, and that's how he made a big hunk of his gazillion dollars. It's like $50 billion wealth. And he has ordered that they not do investigations of him and not cover the campaign aggressively of his candidacy, which has stymied the legitimate journalists who work for him. And now the White House has announced, and the Trump campaign has announced, that Bloomberg reporters will not be given access to any of the Trump campaign events, press conferences, et cetera, et cetera. They think that it's that they got their cue right from Bloomberg himself.
But it also shows that they are scared of him.
Well, they may be scared of him.
I think they are. They're not. This is just a mean, venal move by the White House. Same with getting rid of CNN reporters they didn't like. But for Bloomberg, it's a big problem. He should be divesting of that company.
Yes, he should.
He needs to set the example that we want Trump to follow. You can be a businessman and you can be a president, but you can't be both at the same time.
An interesting point, because he did divest himself when he was mayor.
Yes.
Yeah, but they still did not cover him aggressively.
They still didn't cover it. Yeah, that's
no, true. No, there were still marching orders not to cover the Bloomberg administration.
This is a bad publisher who says you can't. Here is a taboo topic, and you can't cover it. And when the taboo is national politics, it's ridiculous.
How can they have any legitimacy as a national news agency?
There are major reporters from the last time he ran quit. Kathy Kiley left.
I would take a rare talk.
How unusual.
Yeah.
He would need to put it in a blind trust where he has absolutely nothing to say or do with it.
That is so
he
mean.
Could still keep the money, but he could put it in a blind trust and it could operate independently and do whatever it would do. And people would still accuse it of being biased.
Sure, keep talking, Rosemary.
Okay, that's a pretty
good
point.
So going back to what Libby said a moment ago, Libby, you had mentioned that, everybody else should get out. You only see 3 or 4 possibilities here.
Mm-hmm. Is Bloomberg one
shouldn't
of them?
Shouldn't you wait until a primary or two?
We can wait until Iowa, the Iowa caucuses. We can wait until the few primaries after that. But people need to get a grip. And the fact is that if they're not gaining any traction in the polls, they're not raising the kind of money they need to raise, it's a fool's errand. Now, some of these folks, I do believe, are running for cabinet positions, which is fine.
Or vice president,
which is sort of a cabinet position. You know, you raise your profile so that you're positioning yourself for the future, and that's fine. But there's a lot at stake here, folks. There's the future of our democracy is at stake, and we need to hone in on a couple of candidates who can actually win in November and make the right decision.
Now, we have to take a break in a couple minutes here, but I thought Sestak made a very interesting comment when he announced that he was suspending or ending his run. He said, he said, without the privilege of national press, it's unfair to ask others to husband their resolve and to sacrifice resources any longer. the privilege of national press?
Yeah, I always used to hate that as an editor when candidates who had a nothing chance would say, you're not covering us, and so we don't have a chance.
Right.
No, that's not our job, is to cover everybody. You have to rise to our
right.
notice.
Well, to that point, though, Libby was saying that some of these people shouldn't be in the race, but they're in it because they want to have that chance breakout.
Profile.
And Buttigieg did that.
Right,
yeah,
yes.
He's right up there now.
He won the lottery.
He won the lottery. Not the rest of them
have
has
not.
The time passed.
Right. He has perhaps. Captured people's imaginations on a lot of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
The gay male community love him for the most part. Money is pouring
him.
In.
Money,
yeah, money's pouring in there. He's this middle of the road Dem. Who, you know, from a middle of the road
young.
State, Indiana, you know, young. He is, I mean, let's remember Mike Pence is from Indiana. So you have these two, this juxtaposition of Mike Pence, who's a, you know, radical Christian right, who won't be in a room with women alone unless his wife's with him, mother, as he calls her. And then you have Pete Buttigieg, who is correcting Mike Pence on what it means to be a Christian.
So he is capturing
people's imagination.
We only have a minute here, Alan, but what happened to Deval Patrick?
Well, we haven't heard much from him. He doesn't have the money of a Bloomberg, for example. There's one thing and one thing only that could make a difference in Deval Patrick's ascension, and that is a hands-on endorsement from the former president.
Otherwise, you would say this is a non-starter? He got in too late?
Well, he did get in too late. I think that's right. I had asked him many, many times whether he was going to run, and he kept saying no. But let's see what the president, the former president, has to say about this, because, if, you know, I think he's a sure winner, or possible winner, at least, if he's endorsed.
But he's getting less than 1% right now.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he can get onto that debate stage, unless he can get his name out there, an endorsement won't even happen.
It ain't good.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. So, you know, you wait. On the one hand, he won't get endorsed if he... And on the other, you know, unless he does better, and he can't do better without the endorsement.
All right, let's take a break here. This is round table panel time. Panel at WAMC.org is email address. Panel at WAMC.org. Alan Shartok is here.
Giving Tuesday.
Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, Mike Spain. It's Giving Tuesday, so we'll give you a break for news. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Tuesday morning, 10:34 is the time. Ray Graff here, and we're on the panel, you know. Alan Shartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, Mike Spain, and you at panel at WAMC.org. By the way, we're hearing music in the bumpers here from Rebirth Brass Band. We'll be playing at Hilo in North Adams, Mass. On Friday night. Hilo, H-I-L-O, northadams.com. Pretty good stuff.
Does that remind you a little bit of what you do in your off time, Hilo?
What do you mean?
You know, like gamble a little bit.
Oh.
Hilo. Oh, I thought you meant drinking beer.
I don't know. What do you think? I'm gambling over at the
desk? You did mention poker with your young son
with my young daughter.
Yeah. Young daughter.
She's 10. Who won? She's pretty good.
That's awesome.
She nailed a three of a kind at one point last night and took me for quite a bit. No, we're just playing for chips, you know.
Potato chips?
No, we have a stack. We have stacks of chips. And
that's awesome.
Well, good, she can pay for her college education.
Good mental skills involved, and you're learning about probabilities and
counting cards.
Awesome.
Don't chase the cards. I always tell her, if you got four to a straight, don't chase the cards. Yeah. If I'm all in. We digress.
And what does all that mean?
I know.
We have a lot of letters. Shall we read some of them?
If you wish.
No, what do you wish? You're the chief.
Well, I'm thinking about poker now. You do whatever you want.
You just looked at your arm. What are you looking at?
I don't know.
His watch.
What kind of watch is that anyway?
That's a Mets watch that my wife gave me several years ago. It hadn't run since they were in the playoffs last time. We just got it fixed. It must be a good sign.
Oh.
Okay, and we heard from Tom in Catskill. The polls say Democrats are moving to the center. Those farther left will continue to lose votes. Biden will win the nomination. I see a centrist, pragmatic, experienced candidate like Klobuchar being chosen for vice president. The choice is very important because Biden is probably a one-term president. If elected, the vice president would have a leg up on the competition. On the competition.
Okay.
Yes, that's the
I think
word.
That's quite plausible.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. It's it certainly is going to be a woman.
People
right?
were talking Stacey Abrams at the beginning.
Sure. Yeah. Or it also could be Cory Booker, an urban Eastern mayor, senator, African American. I think that it would have a lot of appeal, depending on who the front runner is.
Right.
Yeah.
He hasn't had much of an appeal as a presidential candidate, which is.
Which is surprising because he has so much. I mean, you know,
Buttigieg
is a city of 100,000. You have the city of Newark plus his Cory Booker Senate experience. And he is also a Rhodes Scholar.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
And he's a vegan.
Ah.
Maybe that hurts him.
But he
puts him
not,
over the top.
Yeah. But he is not Barack Obama. And the sensibilities that people have, I mean, one has to make their minds up about, and I'm not showing any cards here, but character. You have to read into a candidate whether or not that's the person that you really have an affinity for and that you want. Now, you know, let's face it, Cory Booker has been a very pragmatic politician. When he's needed to be, when he's needed to be tough, he's been tough. And loud about things. And on the other hand, right now he's playing it very soft. So for whatever it's worth, that's who the guy is. All right.
All right.
More? Do you want more or not?
Oh, please.
Well, I think that was somewhat sardonic.
No, I mean, we got time. Go for it.
Okay. Fred says, people don't care. Hey, folks, I interrupted my snowplow to come inside and respond to that. Virtually everyone I know is in a constant state of horror about what will happen to our Constitution and about the damage already done.
Good.
Scientists hate it when the phrase scientists say is used. And I think that you are all painting the public as largely unconcerned is entirely wrong. I think it's harmful to propagate to your listeners that no one cares. Sincerely, Fred from Canaan.
I hope you're right, Fred.
No, remember, Fred is in a subset. Fred listens to this radio station, and chances are...
While he's snowblowing, which is amazing to me.
And any excuse will serve to get stop snowblowing and start writing a letter.
Right.
But, well worth doing. Rosemary?
No comment.
No comment. Okay. Richard said, let Congress fix it. After 3 years of incessant complaining that Trump is a terrible president destroying our country, I am grateful that Congress are finally doing something about it by impeaching him. I don't need to get into the weeds about the complex details. It's clear he is a vile man. Just let the Democratic Congress handle it, and they are handling it. Good for them. I want to just respond to this letter a little bit. When you say it's clear that he is a vile man, yes, it's clear to me, and maybe clear to the people in the studio. But interestingly, I think it's also clear to a lot of Republicans. But they'll take vile because they want to preserve the sense of privilege that they have in this
Absolutely.
Country.
Now, has anybody in this room watched The Apprentice? I never saw it once.
I watched it the first season.
Was he the same on the show?
Well, I mean, he couldn't be overtly racist. He didn't call Mexicans rapists and drug dealers on the show. But he was...
He
not a nice
forceful,
person.
Yeah. Direct.
Right. And he loved doing You're Fired. I mean, he loves putting people down.
And he's been firing people ever since.
Yes. Yeah. He loves being in a position of power. And he was particularly rude to the women.
Yep. And he's rehearsing for his role that he's playing now. And he said, mm-hmm. I'll be more presidential than you ever imagined. What he meant was, I'm going to be just like I was in The Apprentice.
Right.
A and strong Richard said, executive.
And Richard said, let Congress fix it. Panel, after 3 years of incessant complaining Trump is a terrible president destroying our country, I am grateful that the Congress are finally doing something about it by impeaching him. Did we read this already?
No, I don't know.
I don't need to get into the weeds.
Yes. Yeah, weeds, I remember that.
Read it. So impressive.
Okay. It's worth reading twice. It was so good.
Joanne says, guns for Trump. Dear panel, you folks are right about many things, but you're missing an important reason people support Trump and the Republicans. It's about guns and the people. I know who aren't rich are passionate about the government taking their guns. Why not?
Why the sigh?
Well, because we have thousands of people being killed by guns in this country. Mm-hmm. Thousands. And it is so depressing to me. That's why the sigh.
I see.
It is so depressing to me that we just can't seem to understand, and we think it's an acceptable risk to letting kids in a kindergarten get wiped out by mad people, and that we won't take guns away in this country. To me, it's incredible. Now, I don't want to get into this, but there's been a certain amount of mail that shows up in my email from people who are basically claiming that I'm a member of the NRA and the rest of it.
Are you?
Uh-huh.
Of course I'm not. And, you know, it's gotten personal, and I don't like that. But I do think this country is really nutty not to take stock of what has happened because of guns. And then John says, why not? One, widen the impeachment charges and build it the full profile of Trump's misconduct. Two, drag the impeachment inquiry throughout 2020 while working to win Senate majority. And then it says four. Well, what happened to three?
Well, you know how it is.
Well, you know, he was editing the letter for time.
It's new math.
Impeach and try Trump after election if he wins. And that says sent remotely by John.
Thanks, John.
Wow. Linda says, stop the negative feedback. Open negative statements that nothing we do will matter will only reinforce people becoming more and more apathetic. We need to start thinking positively that we can beat this monster. I happen to agree with this letter in its entirety, for whatever it's worth. Is anybody on the panel who disagrees with it?
Yes.
No. Oh, you do.
Rosemary Arameo, over
what
to
is,
you.
What is the purpose of the obligation of the news media, in your opinion, Dr. Chartek? Should we be enlightening people with the facts so they can make a decision by themselves? Or should we make a decision and then try to lead them there?
A decision on who we support, and then we only will cover those guys.
I'm so glad you both mentioned that. I think we have an obligation not to say what we don't know. And we don't know. We do not know that Trump will win this election. In fact, I think if there's an aggressive movement by Americans who are sick to death of this, I think that there's a very good chance, I think an excellent chance of beating Trump. I think if we say he's going to win, he's going to win, he's going to win.
He's going to win.
We arm ourselves.
Well, they all said that about Hillary, and she didn't win.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Ray.
I take the question to mean more about how about ex-Representative Joe Sestak? Do we have an obligation as the media to give him the same press coverage as Elizabeth Warren or Pete Buttigieg?
No, because he hasn't earned it. I mean, there's, you know, you have to work to get the press's attention. You have to do the right things.
You have to be so weird that the press
right. You have to earn the media attention. And that's why they called it earned media. You got to work at it.
Well, Bernie made this case definitely in 2016, if not this year, that he was ignored.
You're kidding me, right?
He's on the cover of Time magazine the week I heard it.
His supporters would argue that he's being ignored. This is the first time, other than mentioning his name once, that he's come up during this hour and a half, 2-hour
program. Oh, I thought you were talking about the last election cycle.
Both. I was talking. There was a specific complaint from Bernie Sanders supporters then that the media ignored him.
It is chicken egg. I mean, you as an editor talked a few minutes ago, and I have had it too, where people call and say, you're not giving my campaign any coverage. You're not covering me. You're being unfair to the other guy.
And my answer is, why should I be giving it coverage?
Exactly.
The other part of this is this. Politics, especially local, does not sell newspapers. I've been told that over and over and over again. And so when my candidates are like, why aren't I getting in the newspaper? I'm like, they're going to do one story about a week before
the election,
talking about who you are and who the other people are, and that's it.
And yet if you have a fight with somebody and you attack somebody, you're getting in the newspaper.
Right. It's because the media goes after what's sensational and what attracts attention.
No. Well, it goes after news. That's
not sensational. I say they go after what's news. And
what
you know,
attracts
news
attention.
Is like pornography. I can't describe it, but I know it when I see it.
But it isn't sensational. The thing that really sells newspapers is stuff like covering graduation and high school sports.
Yeah.
The things that you cut out, there's my son, there's my grandson. There's nothing sensational about that.
Okay, so Bill from Athens says, Rosemary is right. If Giuliani is actually providing services to Trump for free, how can he afford that? Follow the money, right?
Because the Russians are paying him.
Where is Giuliani's money for all this travel coming from? Bill from Athens.
Oh, my God.
And Claire says, votes do count in New York. Trump will question the validity of the next election regardless of whether he wins or loses. The higher we popular vote against, the higher the popular vote against him, the more ridiculous his claim will be. New Yorkers' votes count. Capital letters. Claire.
Thanks, Claire.
And Roger says, Fox and others. On cable news, there is little news, especially world news. During plane crashes or school attacks, the focus is on the events, recapping events for hours over which they know next to nothing, versus well-proportioned, quote, hard news. The majority of MSNBC's liberal Democrats and Fox only conservative Republicans dominating these networks are like two separate universes. There should be less personality commentators and much more news. Al Jazeera is superior to any domestic cable news in impartiality of news. Well, you know, Rosemary, you know much more about Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera is very good. I happen to agree with that. But this is the usual baloney. There's no such thing as straight news. When you put out something that's straight news, then you have people yelling, where's the context? I don't get it. I don't understand. You need to explain. And yes, I have to say, this is what I think of it. It's only my opinion. But that's a lot more useful than just giving plain, impartial, objective news. And you see it every day. You have from newspapers where the highest readership went to columns, which are opinion, and there is a personality with them. People do need that.
Don't you
it has
think
to be done
people,
ethically, but that's what you need.
Most people are just looking for those ideas that agree with
that
their
agree
ideas.
With their own.
Yes.
Yep.
Affirmation.
Yep.
And Brucey says, doom is self-fulfilling. Declaring doom is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Doom is nihilistic. We may as well eat, drink, and be merry, and to heck with our neighbors as they get disappeared. I realize Rosemary isn't advocating this, but too many will behave selfishly. Most of us need to be grounded in hope to take action, and that's from Brucey.
All right. How long is this next letter?
It's short.
All right. We have only a few seconds left.
Okay. So don't take them.
Yeah.
Susan says, Bernie. Why do you never mention Bernie when discussing
there you
Bernie?
Go. There you go.
Okay. There it is. All right, one more quickie.
Garrett says, panel. Good morning, panel. While Bloomberg is able to literally buy more ads in a few weeks than all other candidates combined for the whole race, candidates like Andrew Yang and Bernie Sanders have incredible fundraising from real grassroots campaigns with a very committed followers. Yes, many candidates do need to drop Klobuchar, Castro, Delaney, etc.
Okay,
but
that's it.
But Yang will be in the final four.
Thank you all for being here today. Mike Spain, Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok.
Giving Tuesday.
Thank you. Giving Tuesday. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with more Roundtable.